Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Voices Found Repertory is not a brand new company, but compared to the more established Milwaukee theater scene, they are one of the new kids on the block. But the material they're presenting is very much a part of the well-established Western canon.
The group specializes in Shakespeare, but they also work in this century as well as they commission new work. Tomorrow night, though, they'll open their production of Shakespeare's Richard III. We're joined in the studio by one of the company's founding members, Alec Lockman, along with Jennifer Vosters, who's a key member of both the company and the cast of Richard III. It is a pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you so much for having us.
So tell me about Voices Found Repertory. Let's start with the company first, and then we'll get into the current production.
Sure.
So how did you guys get going?
I met Jake Thompson and Andy Montano, the other co-founders, at Shakespeare and Company about 2 summers ago. We did a training program.
You were out in Massachusetts?
Massachusetts, yeah.
That's a terrific program.
It was some of the best acting training I've ever received, and just Shakespeare training in general. And that's where we met. And a couple months later, Jake moved to Wisconsin kind of on a whim. He was my roommate at Shakespeare and Company. And we just weren't seeing the work done that we kind of wanted to do. I guess, you know, there wasn't many companies in town that were doing Shakespeare year-round and doing it kind of the way that we wanted to. And so we decided, let's just do it ourselves. And it started with a conversation about what show to start with. And we started with Romeo and Juliet. And we recruited some really great people from around the community, a lot of great local Milwaukee artists, and we just started getting it going. And with the help of the theater community that's here, that's so supportive, the Fleers at In Tandem and Matt Kemple at the Underground Collaborative, we just started from there.
So what was it that you weren't seeing that you wanted to do?
More Shakespeare. We wanted to see more Shakespeare and more new work done, you know, new playwrights, new plays, and more opportunities for young actors. For people coming out of school to play roles, to get a chance to do things that they normally wouldn't get cast as.
And Jennifer, how did you get involved?
I sort of stumbled on their Facebook page back last summer when I was newly graduated, about to go. I spent the summer in Indiana at the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival, and shortly before I went there, I auditioned for these guys and was cast in Coriolanus, which was their second show, which opened in October, and really gelled with their mission statement, really strongly believed in what they were trying to do, and liked the vibe. So as I worked on Coriolanus, I started kind of getting more involved with the administrative and business side as well. And they were been very generous in allowing me to kind of jump on board and help in multiple capacities with the company.
How big is the core company?
We have a board of directors, as we call it, that are 7 of us. And then we have several actors who have been in multiple productions, but we don't have a core company of actors. We audition for each show. But there are 7 young people who are kind of
running
the shots, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where are you? Do you have a space that is yours, or do you kind of look for the appropriate space for the production that you're doing?
We started at In Tandem Theater, but we've always been rehearsing at the Underground Collaborative in the Grand Avenue Mall. And we just recently, starting with our production of Taming the Shrew, actually got our own rehearsal space. It is ours to use. And so we perform now and rehearse exclusively in the Underground Collaborative in the Arcade Theater.
One of the things I love about Shakespeare is how timeless the work is. As you approach Shakespeare and as you think about it, and this maybe goes back to some of the training that you got, Alec, from Shakespeare and Company, how do you approach the texts? I mean, how important is the original text? And what do you do when you start thinking about how you want to perform it?
The text is the most important part. We use the First Folio, we use the RSC, we use the Arden, so that we make sure we're using the original punctuation, the original like long spelling capitalizations, because that tells you so much about what is being said. And we stick to the verse, we stick to the iambic pentameter.
Do you edit?
We do cut our scripts. You know, modern audiences don't always like to sit around for 3 hours, unfortunately.
Or 5.
Or 5 hours if it's an uncut Hamlet.
Yes.
And so we kind of adopted another kind of a tribute of Shakespeare and Company, where we cut our Shakespeare to 90 minutes. It's a long process to cut scripts. You know, we put them all up on the wall. We put the whole script up and we start to go through and pick out which pieces are the most important or which pieces we feel are necessary to the story, because, you know, in Shakespeare, there's a lot of history that he puts in there. A lot of, like, you know, that's where, like, audiences during his time would get their news was from plays. And so sometimes there's a little bit of extra things that we can trim off. So we do cut. But we don't We don't add like modern language. We don't change it to make more sense. We just trim it down.
I think it's important, especially in classical theater and especially in Shakespeare, for actors to kind of see their role as a conduit for the text, to be sort of the avenue through which the audience is able to receive the story. There isn't a lot of room to be a diva with Shakespeare because he will always be better than you are as an actor. So the best way, I think, to approach the text, and I think we really try to do that with VFR, is to open the text for the audience to be able to interpret as clearly as possible.
I know you audition for each role, but I assume that not everyone has the same kind of experience mm-hmm. with Shakespeare and with the text mm-hmm. that you might. Mm-hmm. So how do you help the actor be the conduit?
The way we kind of help people from the beginning of the process is with our audition process. So it's a bit different than others in town. We do the basic kind of, you come in, you read your monologue, whatever it may be. And, after we work with you a bit, we see if we, want to continue to call you back. And so we cast a show, but we don't give out roles. We cast a group of actors and we bring everyone in and we start building a team from day one, which is incredibly important to any sort of show, is to have a team. But then we also start to play with text. We drop it in, which is, us feeding the text into your ear so you're not necessarily staring at the script. And we talk about it quite extensively and make sure that you understand what it is and talk about what certain words mean because, die meant something completely different then than it does now, for example. And we just make sure that we can see you reading the text without, if it makes sense, without just staring at it and trying to figure it out. We try to get it in your body more than just have you read it, mm-hmm. which is so much more interesting.
So this leads to Richard III. Mm-hmm. This is the fourth production, is that right?
Yes,
okay.
This is the fourth production.
So why Richard III?
Well, I kind of was asking Alec that question after I had been cast in the show and after he asked me to assist and direct. And just sort of talking about how we wanted to approach the play now that we sort of saw how relevant many people would start to see it again. And we ultimately decided that we didn't want to have the show be changed at all by current events. But many of the decisions that Alec and I have made are really in keeping with this idea of it being a timeless story. It is not set in a particular time period. It's a very abstract, very elemental set and costume design to keep it from being suggestive of any one time or place.
It happened, but
it did, not
necessarily the way Shakespeare dramatized it.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. The history is there, but not necessarily in the play.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If that's a good way of saying it. Yeah.
Yeah. The historical elements that are so timeless, are part of what makes the story so strong. Civil War, bitterly divided politicians, overlooked geniuses. Like, it is very historical. It's very much rooted in the human story, but it's happened many times in history, not just in, the 1400s in England. So that's what makes it so perfect to come back again and again and again.
And, of course, we have the amazing character of Richard mm-hmm. himself, mm-hmm. The hunchbacked mm-hmm. king. And, I think Shakespeare had a particular view of him, but we have a different view. Oh, mm-hmm. maybe we do. Maybe we don't. What do you think?
I certainly feel like I play Richard in our production, and so I feel like I've had to sort of try to approach him from a more sympathetic viewpoint to try to understand how I can relate to this person. And I definitely think there are elements of that, again, that tortured genius, that tortured leading man when Richard III, he is, he feels very much entitled to what he doesn't have, based on the fact that he's not the oldest and the fact that he's deformed, and that keeps him from a lot of opportunity in the situation that he finds himself, the society in which he finds himself. He knows how brilliant and smart he is, but he also can see very clearly what keeps him from being able to live out what he feels is his full potential, and that it drives him to seek the only position in the land he feels is worthy of him, which is the position of king. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what I sort of have seen as the tragedy of the character, is that he is unable to transcend or transform the pain of his always being second best, always being overlooked, always being ignored, He's unable to move past the pain that that has caused him in his life, and instead uses that to fuel a very, very dangerous sort of revenge entitlement scheme in his head that ultimately leads to his downfall.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's, as you say, it's the tragedy of the
yes.
play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just answered a question I was going to ask if you're doing gender-blind casting, and
yes.
obviously you are.
Yeah, we usually, with all of our productions, we try to do it gender-blind, and we try to find the actors that we believe that would fit the role best, not because of the gender, but because of their talent and because of their understanding of the text, and if we can work with them, and if we can work in a, you know, a cohesive team, which again is the first step for us for every cast, is to find people that can work together on these kind of heavy texts.
How big is the cast?
The cast is 13.
Okay.
13.
So you went beyond your seven.
Yes.
Your seven core.
Yeah.
Brought in some others.
Yeah, and we have some people who are appearing with us for the first time and some who have been in with VFR since the first show. So. Mm-hmm.
So after this, what's happening after Richard?
After Richard, coming up, we have Twelfth Night. And then we have an original, our first original production called Theater Games by Farron Stephanie.
And is she local?
She is from Indiana.
Okay.
She's from Indiana.
In the greater Midwest area.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic emerging playwright and with a connection to someone we have in Richard III. That's how we kind of got connected with her. And we're so excited to branch out from Shakespeare and take on like a really, really exciting play. Mm-hmm. We read it like as a group for the first time with her the other day, and it is just a very suspenseful, very, very fun mm-hmm. show.
Mm-hmm. So are you seeing that this is something you're in it for the long haul here? This is a new company that's going to be around for a while?
Yeah. I don't think Voices Found is going anywhere anytime soon. We've just kind of begun to find our niche here. People are just starting to kind of figure out who we are. And, you know, the work can happen elsewhere, but I don't think we're leaving Milwaukee anytime soon.
Yeah.
That's good. So you'll have to come back on. Maybe I can come to a rehearsal sometime.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We have an open door policy, so.
Very cool. Oh, that'd be fun. So people can come and just watch the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very cool, too. So anyway, well, I want to thank you both so much for taking time. I know you're probably about to go into tech. So
Yes, we are.
So thanks for taking a few minutes out of that to talk with us and break a leg.
Thank you so much.
Alec Lockman is a founding member of Voices Found Repertory. Jennifer Vosters is a member of the company and plays the title role in their production of Shakespeare's Richard III, which opens tomorrow at the Arcade Theater in the Shops of Grand Avenue. You'll find a link to more from WUWM.com.